I think today's the first time I ever had the chance to read the gospel because we didn't have a deacon. What a treat. Reminds me of being in the parish. It's fabulous. Today's second reading is from the second chapter of Philippians, which is Paul's great kenotic hymn. We heard it just two Sundays ago when we celebrated the exaltation of the cross. If you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, it appears every Saturday evening in evening prayer. And in the Office of Readings, it appears this coming Tuesday as well. It's such a primary text for us as Christians that the Church presents it to us often. I've preached on it often. I've given retreats just on that one passage. The word kenosis comes from Greek, and it means to empty oneself. And it already existed as a liturgical hymn when Paul was preaching and writing, and when he takes up the pen to write to his beloved community at Philippi, which means it's probably the oldest articulation of the basics of our faith. Paul writes to the community at Philippi because they are so close to his heart and because they are divided. Two of their chief spiritual leaders are in conflict with each other, and it's creating tremendous division within the Christian community. And so Paul holds up the beautiful and superlative example of Christ as the one that we should all look to as a model of humility, of obedience, and service. The kenotic hymn is worthy of being memorized, so I just encourage you to read it often, pray over it often, commit its words to your heart. There's essentially three movements within the kenotic hymn. The first is the incarnation. It says, even though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, becoming a human being like us. So in Jesus, we see God's invisibility made fully manifest. We see his transcendence draw very close. We see his power become vulnerable. We see God, whom the prophets longed to see, suddenly with a human face, walking in the midst of humanity, loving us from inside our own human condition. In meditating often on the wonder of the incarnation, we're drawn to the startling truth that God comes to us not to demand that we serve him. God comes to us to serve us. Well, what a startling revelation, especially when you compare Christianity to Roman or Greek mythology, where the gods are always manipulating human beings and getting them to serve them, getting them to serve their whims and to become their stooges, in a sense. In Jesus Christ, God comes to us to serve us. And so the first movement of the kenotic hymn is God becoming a human being in the person of Jesus. And we see it in his ministry. We see it in his healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding the poor and gathering all the people close that have been pushed far away. We see it in the foot washing. We see it in the Eucharist. And then in the second movement, we see it in the crucifixion. And so if the incarnation isn't enough, Jesus descends to the very depths of our darkness and our death by embracing the cross. And so every time that we celebrate the Eucharist, we stand with Jesus at the foot of the cross, we share in his self-giving at the Last Supper, and we proclaim his resurrection. In the mystery of the cross, then, Jesus descends into our darkness, embraces it, and lifts it up, and thereby redeems it. So the second movement of the kenotic hymn speaks to us of the shock of Jesus' crucifixion, but also its saving and redemptive power. The third movement, then, is Jesus being exalted and glorified. And we are exalted and glorified and lifted up with him. Today's gospel speaks of what it means to do the will of the Father. And Jesus' parable reminds us it doesn't matter so much what we say, it doesn't matter so much how we live it on the surface, it matters what we do in the profundity of our response to the Lord, to put into action God's saving mercy, to put into action the mystery of the canonic hymn. For if we dare to call ourselves Christian, that we follow this Lord who humbled himself to become human, who embraced the shame of the cross, and who rose from the dead. So to do the will of the Father is to become obedient, to empty ourselves out, to be willing to be inconvenienced, to suffer, to pour ourselves out in the service of others. Humility is a tricky thing, because the first second you think you have it, you've lost it, right? But I think there's a balance to humility. Humility is realizing both our greatness and our littleness. Because we are far greater than we dare to imagine. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We have an immortal destiny. And God has given us intellectual powers, the ability to love and to know and to believe and to forgive and to sacrifice. We are greater than we ever dared to think. And if we ever forget our greatness, we fall into despair. We fall into hopelessness. We're also very little and poor and weak and vulnerable. And without God, we cease to exist. And if we ever forget our littleness, we fall into pride. And we fall into inflating ourselves up. But to hold those two together, to remember our greatness and our littleness, and to know that God is at the center of it all, and that every gift that he's given us, even the gift of this day, the gift of this life, is meant to be poured out, emptied out, given away, sacrificed. Just as Jesus poured himself out on the cross, just as Jesus will pour himself out in the Eucharist and fill us up with the abundance of his grace and his presence. He fills us up, not just so we can go home and enjoy it. He fills us up with himself so that we go into the world and give that Christ away to others, to allow the world and the needs of others and the poor and the sick to empty us out. So whatever we do for, especially the needy and the suffering and the poor, we literally do for Christ. That's the great secret of the saints. So we pray for the grace to live the canonic hymn, to live the parable in today's gospel, that we are the one that goes into the vineyard and does the will of the Father. And like tax collectors and sinners, to acknowledge that we radically need the Lord. And that is what has brought us here this morning, our poverty, our weakness, that is clothed in the glory of Christ, crucified and risen.